Look at you, hacker. A pathetic creature of meat and bone, panting and sweating as you run through my corridors. How can you challenge a perfect, immortal machine?
What's great? What's garbage? Everything you need to know about video games. Now, along with Andy Reiner, here's the Fan's Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Video Games Weekly on The Fan. I am Paul Charchian. My co-host is always Reiner.
Hello.
Hi, good to have you here. We are now Wild and Done. We're every week now, baby.
This is better than a Stanley Cup, right?
Video Games Weekly?
Yeah. No?
I can't go that far.
All right.
I would love to have a Stanley Cup in this town. It means so much here. And we can't get out of the first round. So it was, maybe we should be grateful we were mercifully dispatched quickly.
Yeah.
So there was that, right? Hopefully next year we'll have extended absences throughout April and much of May. That'd be fine. As it stands right now, you and I, we're good to go for several months.
Yes.
I've got a vacation in July. That's about it. Maybe AJ will fill in for me. That's it. I mean, we're going straight through until, well, hockey exhibition season, which starts in like 3 weeks.
And E3 is, what, 5 weeks away? So we're going to miss all that news then.
Yeah, E3 coming up as well. Even if you're gone, we'll try to find somebody else to help out. Plenty of things to get to over the course of the show, and your calls are always welcome, of course, including 30-second reviews if you wish. 989-5326 is the number. I want to start with God of War 4. This is a subject that we broached 2 weeks ago. Then it came out about 1 week ago, so it's a little bit in the rearview mirror right now. But you love this game, gave it a glowing review, and across the board, it's reviewed extremely well.
Yeah, I didn't review it for Game Informer, but if I did...
Oh, I thought you did.
Nope.
You just played it through.
Correct.
Okay, my apologies.
If I did, I would have given it a perfect 10 out of 10.
Wow.
No game's perfect, right? There's always a blemish, but
yeah.
This game deserves the highest praise we can give because it is a stunning work of art in the game space. Like, this is a long-running series that they have breathed new life into, found ways to reinvent it in... Not only action capacity, but storytelling-wise, too. Making Kratos, the God of War himself, this guy who just yells at everything, into a really... I don't want to say they humanized him necessarily. He's still very different than us. But they found ways to make him really compelling and someone that you kind of root for reasons you wouldn't expect. And I don't want to spoil it for people, but... They did a great job on him and the story and just making God of War new again.
I think it was probably ready for that, right? We had seen iterations going all the way back to the PS2, PS3, the Vita. There might have been a PSP version of God of War at one point. I don't remember.
In that time, he killed everybody in Olympus.
Everybody. Yeah, there's nobody left.
Gone. Hades, gone. There was nothing left, so he...
The janitor, beheaded. And this is still, at its core... An action game, right?
Yes.
So you're talking about, you know, the development now as we're now dealing with Norse mythology. But at its core, this is still an action game, and it's still going to have crazy over-the-top set-piece moments and, you know, battling guys that are eight times bigger than you and all that stuff, right?
Right. But this time, he's not alone. So in past God of War games, it was just him, his Blades of Chaos, which whenever he'd whip them out on the chains, they'd start on fire.
Yeah.
Think Ghost Rider. But on a much higher level in terms of the destruction he could produce. Now he has a young boy with him.
Yeah.
His son, who... That brings up a boatload of questions right there, right?
Like, well, sure.
How does he have a kid again?
Right.
Spoiler here, but he wears the ashes of his... It's a curse of his fallen wife and daughter
from
his previous life in Greece. And now He has a son, and who's the mom? Like, what happened?
Right.
How did he get to Norse mythology?
Do they answer some or all of those questions
answer
in God of War?
Answer all that stuff.
Okay, all right. Yep. So they leave no stone unturned. They're not planning ahead for the next one already.
But the twists and turns, like, you cannot predict where they go with this thing. It is a wonderful ride from start to finish.
And, you know, everything you're talking about, though, still seems to talk about the narrative changes and the depth of character, all welcome things. Is there any significant change to the way that the action performs God of War?
Huge. So the action in God of War is more diverse than it's ever been, both in terms of player customization.
Mm-hmm.
You get to pick the moves you have as the game goes on.
Okay.
But also just giving you new ways to kind of approach the battlefield. Yes, the enemies are huge, you know, like golems and stuff like that again.
Yeah.
But you now have an axe instead of the Blades of Chaos. And I know that just sounds like trading in one sharp thing for another one,
it
right?
It really does, yes.
But this thing is like Thor's hammer.
Okay.
Where he could throw it out and then, like, with the Force, summon it back.
Cool.
So let's say you throw one and it lodges into the skull of some demon at a distance, but there's two demons approaching. You can kind of move in the direction to line up the other demons, then
you can
summon
hit
the axe back.
Yeah, hit them back. So I have to summon it back. It doesn't just come back.
So you could be standing there without your fists.
Yeah.
And that is a new attack style as well. Where you're the God of War, so it doesn't matter.
I can just
punch guys. Yeah, so you have a whole different move set with just your fists. And there's a bunch of different surprises along the way that amplify the gameplay as well. One thing. So one move. This is a bit of a spoiler. One move I got late in the game, I'd throw my axe out and it would spin in place like a propeller.
Okay.
Just tearing enemies up. At that point, I could go in and start punching other enemies. But Atreus, my son, on this square button, I could also, as I'm doing these two things at once, I could summon him and tell him to, you know, unleash this pack of magical wolves.
Wow.
Or shoot arrows at my enemies to stun them. So you were doing like three things at once.
Wow.
So that's where God of War really shows its dynamics and just how much range it has.
This sounds like a game that's going to push the PS4 pretty hard.
It is gorgeous, and if you could play it in 4K, it's not running in 4K, but on a 4K TV with HDR, it looks absolutely stunning. The little details, like, I shouldn't be marveling at old man Kratos' beard. That's a dumb thing, but it's like going to see Monsters, Inc. and seeing Sully's fur for the first time.
Right.
Like, wow, that looks really cool.
Yeah,
it's a similar thing with God of War, where every little detail, like, even if it is like a piece of clothing or his eyes, the glint of his eyes, stuff like that, you just marvel at. It's those little details you really haven't seen outside of maybe like Naughty Dog as a developer with the Uncharted games or Last of Us.
Right. The PS4 Pro went on sale by 20% at Target this past week. I know a bunch of people went out and got it. This is a game that will use all the extra power that the PS4 has, and that's one of the things that, you know, you bought it for, right?
Yep. If you have a PS4, you have no excuse. You have to play this game. It's one of the best games ever. You have to play this.
Well, you gave it a 10 out of 10. Joe, your official reviewer.
He's a hater.
Dinged it all the way down to a 9.75.
Come on,
Joe. I like the fact that you're willing to give games 10s.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we don't do that enough because you can nitpick at any game. But there are some games that are so transcendent that they deserve that score. Now, my quibble on God of War might be, what are they doing that's really new and groundbreaking that we haven't seen before? And I don't think there's something like that in God of War. But I don't know if you have to do that to be a 10.
No, and to answer your question right there, the thing I think they do really well that is unexpected is changing what it was. Like, taking huge risks in all the other God of War games before this one were very well received. Like, this is an established franchise. People know what to expect from it. They turned it on its head and gave you something completely different that is just as good, if not better, than those old ones. That's impressive. So I would say in that capacity, they did something truly, truly remarkable.
So where does God of War fit in the pantheon of PS4 titles right now? Let's say, and there are people like this, that just buying a PS4, or maybe they've only got the pack in on their 3S PS4, Where would you say, if I was a PS4 owner today and I were heading out to GameStop to go get a PS4, is God of War the top recommendation? You'd say this is the one game you should come home from the store with as a PS4 owner.
Yeah, I would have a bunch of questions, but for my take,
yeah,
you know, bunch of questions for that consumer,
sure,
right?
Of course. What do you love?
Yeah. I would say God of War is the absolute best PS4 game. You know, number two is like a tie between a bunch of them, like Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, I love it.
Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, even
Uncharted 4.
Yeah. The Witcher 3, Persona mm-hmm. 5. There's a bunch of great games there. Well, maybe I'd say Uncharted 4 is number two, but
I thought
there's
you might.
A bunch of great games that kind of fall in place there. But God of War, I think, is just like, I could not put that sucker down, and I had to be a father and a decent human being. But it was one of those experiences where I just kept thinking about it. I could not stop just obsessing over where the story was going. I wanted to see what happened next.
How much gameplay? How many hours of gameplay is in God of War? God of Wars have generally been pretty linear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're playing it for 12 hours, most people are playing it around 12 hours. What do you think the total length on that?
If you stay on the critical path, you're looking at probably 12 to 13 hours to mm-hmm. get through the core campaign. There's a bunch of stuff on the side. It's not an open world game, but there are open kind of hub areas, smaller hub areas. Some backtracking, like the old Metroid games, where you get a new power, you go back. I would say, I think our reviewer, Joe, put in 30 hours.
30? Wow, okay.
And that's like getting the platinum trophy on PS4 for completing everything.
Jeez. Usually your reviewers, just because of the nature of their work and deadlines and everything else, they're critical path guys, typically. The fact that Joe found his way to 30 hours on this thing says a lot.
Yeah, and it depends on when you get the game. We got this one super early,
which is nice.
Sony being incredibly confident in their product.
Yeah, it really is.
And let's release the review a week
in
advance.
They let you they let you post the review a week in advance. That's when you know there's a lot of confidence.
There's something special.
Yeah, for sure. Also, potentially something special. Detroit Become Human. The demo, this is also this turned into a very PS4 heavy bit right now. The whole show is not going to be that way. The demo for that came out today. This is a fascinating story. It's by Quantic Dream. This is the company that has a long history of storytelling video games with some action and exotic locations and some occult stuff and some future stuff. And Heavy Rain, I thought, was the high point of their development efforts to this point. Quantic Dream's new game is called Detroit Become Human, and it's about an android uprising about 20 years set in the future, about 20 years from now. And the androids look human. They appear to have feelings. They say they have feelings, but they're always treated across the board as second-class citizens in this new world that these androids are in. And they've kind of had enough. So the premise to me is pretty interesting, and I don't think we've seen anything quite like this before.
Unless you have HBO.
A little Westworld.
And you watch Westworld.
There's a little Westworld in here.
Just came out, two days ago?
Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. Season 2.
There's no coincidence here. They know people are Android-obsessed right now, and they're like, watching Westworld? Why don't you play our game, which is very similar?
Now, I'll say this, though. They've been working on Detroit Become Human for 4 years, you know, long before Westworld was a thing. And so, you know, I don't think they're ripping Westworld off. Now, the demo is only about 10 minutes long, but it's glorious. And what I want, let's pause on that note. I want to talk a little bit more about Detroit Become Human exclusively for the PS4 and why this game looks potentially fascinating. Game Informer got to spend 2 hours with it. Which is as much as I think time as anybody spent with it to this point. It just went gold, I think, yesterday or today. And you can read some of the thoughts that I think it's Kim that did the did the 2 hours. Get her thoughts on spending 2 hours with it. I've spent 10 minutes with it. We'll get your thoughts as well, Reiner. When we come back, more Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Welcome back to Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Paul Ciarchi and Reiner with me, Game Informer, GameInformer.com. A little later, we're going to talk about Frostpunk, a dark, deep, difficult steampunk city building simulation. But first, I want to continue the conversation, Reiner, that we started last segment. Detroit Become Human.
Yeah.
4 years in the making. Quantic Dream is a polarizing developer, I think we could probably say. They build very deep story-based games that are all about giving you, the player, a lot of choice and having to deal with the consequences of your choices. It's exclusive. What are they, a second-party developer? Everything they do is always Sony exclusive.
Yeah, I don't know if they're owned by Sony.
I don't either. I bet Sony's got a stake in them. Quantic Dream is most known for doing Heavy Rain. Now, like 10 years ago? 8 years ago? How long do you think that was?
Longer than that, because they had so? Beyond
They had one
two
in between
Souls.
Those. Right.
By the way, the worst at naming games.
Yeah, terrible.
They need to spend more than 4 years on their name.
They really do. Detroit, the name of this game could just be Detroit, and I'd be perfectly happy. Detroit colon become human? That doesn't mean anything to anybody.
No.
You're not doing yourself any favors.
I am human. Why do I want to become human?
Correct. This is about an android uprising 20 years in the future. Androids are, they look human, they act human. They're obviously better at processing data than humans are, because they're androids. But they are second-class citizens in almost every regard. They can't walk into some establishments. They have to sit in the back of the bus, stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. So people buy them in vending machines in this world.
Yeah, how about that?
So you just go up to it, just like a Coca-Cola machine.
Right.
You browse the options on a touchscreen,
mm-hmm.
and then you can purchase
Get
one.
Get your android.
The android just walks right out of the machine, and you
He's
go
yours.
Home.
The androids, where this thing gets a little dicey is, the androids are, the game's designed to play with your emotions. You will play as the androids, so you're going to be invested in the androids emotionally. And the androids are very sympathetic figures, right? They say they have feelings. They act like they have feelings. How are you going to treat your androids? Are you going to treat them like people? Or are you going to treat them like machines?
Yeah.
And they put you in difficult positions to make those sorts of decisions all the time. The demo came out today. I played the demo. Have you had a chance to put any firsthand time into Detroit Become Human?
I was going to today, and then I learned it was the E3 demo. So I have already seen that before.
Got it. Let me tell you a little bit about the demo and why I left the demo thoroughly excited. The demo did exactly what it was supposed to do for me. So when the demo for Detroit Become Human starts, you are an android walking into a crime scene, and the crime is going down right then. There is an android out on a rooftop with a human baby, and he's on the ledge and he's threatening to jump. You are an android called in to try to negotiate other android off the roof and try to save the child.
You failed, didn't you?
I'll get to that in a minute. So the first thing you find out is Android can scan by holding down R2. He can scan his environment and pick out points of interest. And then he can drill down on those points of interest. And as you drill down on them, he can search for clues and he can try to. So I'll give you an example. There's a dead body in this crime scene. You go up to the dead body. Using a swishing motion with your right thumbstick, you indicate that you want to go kneel down by this body. Then the body, it's got bullet wounds and stuff in it. You can move your cursor around to highlight areas of interest on it. And then he does android analysis on it to tell you in a lot of detail instantly what happened.
He's
with
dead.
That he's dead. Then beyond that, based on once you get all of the clues off the body, the android will then reconstruct the final moments before death. Well, here's where he would have been standing. He would have been shot this way. And you can actually see the 3 or 4 seconds before the corpse hit the ground, which obviously gives you a lot of clues as to what's going on. So when you walk into this environment, the humans are, A, pissed that there's an android there to negotiate this thing because they don't, why would they send an android? And there's the android with the human girls out on the rooftop on the ledge right then. And so there's a ton of pressure to get out there before the other android jumps. Your job is to try to cull together enough information from the crime scene so that you can then go out onto the patio and talk the android off the ledge. And all of your conversation, all of your conversational options are timed. You have to make a pretty fast decision about what direction you're going to go with your conversations. And then they actually show you the percentage chance that you're going to have a successful outcome, and you can see it moving up and down. And for me, I walked in at like 38%, got it up to like 65%. And then as I'm trying to negotiate, it's going back down to like 50%, got up to like 58%. And then I had the big moment to either save or not the kid.
And what happened?
Yeah, I don't want to brag, but.
Oh, well done, Church.
It was a very, very, and by the way, graphically beautiful.
Yeah.
I loved it. I love strong narratives in my games anyway. Detroit Become Human is clearly going to have a very, very deep narrative. I'm very excited for this, and the demo did exactly what it was designed to do. Got me really, really excited for May 25th when it comes out.
For the people listening, this is not C-3PO talking to another version of C-3PO.
No,
These are humanoid-looking androids, and they sound like it. They have ranges of emotion, but you have to factor in when you're talking to people in this game, whether they're androids or human. And you're going to have to figure that out as time goes on, too. You might not know right away.
You might not know right
away. And they will think differently than humans.
Which is fascinating as well. You're going to follow three different androids and the people that they're most closely connected to. So it's not just following sort of one person. And at key points, you're going to have to decide which side of this thing you're going to be on. We don't know yet. It's fascinating, though. I'm very excited for it.
And this is another PS4 exclusive.
Another PS4 exclusive.
Last week, we talked about Spider-Man, a PS4 exclusive.
That's a great point. God of War, PS4 exclusive.
They're killing it.
You know, we've talked about it before, and I'm not trying to beat up on the Xbox. I want the Xbox to be great. I can't give anybody a reason right now to buy an Xbox over a PS4. There's so many great games that are only on PS4, and the Xbox doesn't do anything that the PS4 doesn't do.
Last year, the narrative was Switch, Switch, Switch. Nintendo was just on fire with everything they released. Everybody, you couldn't even find the system on store shelves.
Right.
This year, it's PlayStation 4. Like, Nintendo, nobody's talking about it right now. They just released Labo, the cardboard experimental thing.
Yeah, I don't totally get that.
I don't think many people are. I've been going to a bunch of stores, and it doesn't seem like it's buying. Nobody's buying it. But PS4 just flying off shelves, and for good reason. Like, one of the best games ever just released, and the trajectory for the rest of the year, incredible.
Yeah, it's I think Xbox needs to do something right now. They've got to find a way to ignite some interest in their console, or they're already at a 2-to-1 deficit on sales. I think it's going that gap's only going to broaden.
What if they have a Halo Battle Royale contender at E3? What if there's something like that?
The Battle Royale thing's already populated.
Yeah, but Halo's a big franchise, or Gears of War.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, games will be on PC, though. I mean, we talk about this all the time. So, but they have, we'll find out in a month what they have. They'll show their hand, their deck of cards, and we'll see what they have for the future. But right now, it's looking pretty bleak in terms of exclusive reasons to play on Xbox.
If I ran Microsoft, I would be looking very hard at what would I have to do to basically build a Switch that is Xbox One backwards compatible or compatible with Xbox One.
Yeah.
And that at that point, and it's in that point, I think there'd be a ton of interest in it. If I could play in my handheld and then go, you know, have that save game work on my Xbox and share games between the two libraries, I think that would help.
Because you have the one thing Xbox still gets is all the great third party support that goes to PC and PS4. If you could put that on mobile and have it be like that same fidelity of graphics and online infrastructure, all that stuff, that would be huge. Like, Switch can't do that yet.
No.
You're getting some third-party stuff.
Yeah, the Switch Online is still, a year later, by the way, utter disaster, made virtually no progress in online play in a year.
Yeah, they delayed their plans again.
Unbelievable.
Their paid network stuff.
Yeah, very frustrating. When we come back, Frostpunk, a dark, deep, difficult, depressing city simulator, and why it's a really, really compelling game when we come back.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
From the Holiday Station Stores Traffic Center, here's a look at the roads. On 94 westbound, the off-ramp is closed at 35W, plus the on-ramp is closed at Hennen. That's all due to construction work. Plus on 35W southbound, traffic is slow between Hiawatha Avenue and 5th Avenue. 394 eastbound is also snug between Dunwoody Boulevard and 94. And on southbound Highway 100, we have a stalled vehicle blocking the left shoulder at Duluth Street. Eastbound on the crosstown, we have a slight delay between Valley View Road and Xerxes Avenue, and that's traffic on The Fan. This report is brought to you by Napa. Napa Auto Parts has the expertise and parts you need to help you keep your car on the road no matter how many miles it has. So stop by your local Napa store and see what 90 years of experience can do for your car. Quality parts, helpful people, that's Napa know-how.
Final segment of Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Thank you for joining us. Back into our every week groove. It was a bad off. I mean, it's almost like an off season for Video Games Weekly.
Yeah.
The in season for the Wild, just so many shows missed. But now
we missed every week. So much content.
We really did, and some of the great stuff too. Hated over the holidays, where there's all these glut of new games around holiday, and we've got one show in a month. Great. Frostpunk is a city-building simulation, like SimCity, like City Skyline, but with a deep, dark twist to it. The premise is this. It's the 1800s. It's steampunk. It's steampunk setting. It's the 1800s. Civilization's on the brink of extinction. A small band of humans builds one small generator on basically a sheet of ice. And from that starting point in Frostpunk, you will try to turn your enclave into a full city step by step by step. Now, we've seen a lot of city simulators that fundamentally work this way, like all of them. You start with like nothing, a field, and then you put down a road, and you build a couple of houses and a couple of people move in. But this one Frostpunk layers this narrative over the game that then affects your gameplay. And Matt Burtz did the review, gave it an 8.75 out of 10. And just, reading the words, you'd think it was a 9.75. The game is filled with these incredibly difficult choices. Here's an example. You're faced with injuries that threaten to halt your resource gathering. Do you forcibly amputate limbs so you have enough able bodies to gather coal to heat the homes throughout the next freeze?
That's always the first thing you do.
You just start chopping off limbs.
Yep.
Or do you take the humane path and create an invalid ward that puts yet another stress on your productivity that may endanger the entire outpost? Do you provide daycare for children, or do you put the children to work trying to just keep your civilization at a survival level? So mankind's on the brink of extinction. Your city is constantly on the brink of extinction. And then it forces these really difficult choices on you where you can't just take the moral high ground like, no, our children aren't going to work. Well, the problem is you may all die because the children didn't go harvest coal. Here's from Burtz's review at GameInformer.com. This is a direct quote. And I thought this sums up a lot of Frostpunk right here, Reiner. Trying to devise a plan for surviving a giant storm that threatened to seize any food gathering options and blow out my overworked heat generator literally kept me awake one night. How could I gather enough food rations to outlast the bitter cold? Could I realistically keep discontent from rising while making tough calls during this impossible situation? Or was I doomed to be killed like so many other rulers who overstepped the bounds of what is socially acceptable? That's when I decided to drug my populace with the opiate of the masses, religion. I felt hypocritical doing it, but at least I created the hope necessary to power through a storm that killed half the settlement.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
That it's like, from what I understand, the weight of those decisions just crushes you every time. No matter what you do,
there's no good outcome, right?
Yeah, I mean, the good outcome is live another day,
yes,
maybe.
Yeah, only half of your population died. That's the good outcome. I think Frostpunk, it might be a little too much for a lot of people, but it still sounds like underneath it is a very good city simulator, and now you get an actual narrative on it. When you play City Skyline, there's no narrative going on.
Yeah.
There's no like branching decisions that go on. And I like the fact that somebody has put a narrative on top of a game like a SimCity or a City Skyline. The art of survival comes down to thinking two or three moves ahead. When a deep freeze is coming, winter is coming, by the way, if you haven't heard, you may need to shift priorities beforehand to make sure your generator's got enough reach. And you can keep your vital operations heated and warm, often at the expense of many other things. Frostpunk is the name of the game. PC only, unfortunately. I'd like to see this kind of game come to a broader base. You don't see a lot of these type of strategy games come out on console. I'd like to see that happen.
Well, we do have a story-based park builder on the way to Xbox, PS4, and PC.
What is that?
Jurassic Park Evolution.
I don't know anything about it. What is it?
That's right around the corner. So you build your own Jurassic Park
with
dinosaurs that are unpredictable. They can crush through walls. Obviously, every time you build a Jurassic Park, it has to be destroyed in some capacity.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying.
Actor Jeff Goldblum, who we got to talk to.
Really?
Is one of the sharpest people we've ever interacted with.
Really? What makes you say that?
We have a video up on our YouTube page of Ben Hansen, one of our video guys, doing basically a talk show with him, and he is absolutely bonkers in that, in a great way.
Wow.
But he's the narrator through this whole game.
Okay.
And you basically need to move from island to island to island and build different Jurassic Parks.
Hmm.
So that is coming, or Jurassic Worlds, whatever you want to name it. That is coming to Steam, PS4, and Xbox One very soon.
Wow. All right. I did not know that was coming. That sounds intriguing, doesn't it? That was one of the things about SimCity, and City Skyline has this as well. It's SimCity. You can just arbitrarily go, fire, you know, earthquake, you know, whatever, and just melt down whatever you just made. And I understand it's a little bit like on the beach when you build the sandcastle and then, you know, of course, you end up destroying it. So I think there's some of that that's happening when you do it. But at the same time, if you put all that work, I got, you know, dozens of hours of building my city. The last thing I want to do is just arbitrarily go, Godzilla attack.
Yeah, it's over.
It just doesn't do a lot for me.
Well, in this game, once you're at the end of it all, let's say you're like, okay, I've played enough of this. You're doing sandbox mode in Jurassic Park Evolution. You can, you know, grow some new T-Rexes.
Okay.
And then be like, oh, what should I keep them in? Should we do the big wired fences again? No, how about just a rickety old wooden fence? Let's see what happens when we do that. Let's see how the park goers react to this exhibit. And there's some fun in that, in seeing the chaos, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Who was the original creator of SimCity?
EA Maxis. Maxis, and they got purchased by Electronic Arts.
Yeah, you remember the guy behind it?
Will Wright.
Will Wright. He's got a new game he's working on that, you know, he's given that he did SimCity, he did The Sims, which was insanely popular for a period of time, Spore. Proxy is his new simulation game, where it's going to be mobile only. Players will construct worlds from their memories. And I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
I don't totally get this. I've seen some artwork that's, and they're not saying a lot. And I think it's still got a long way to go. But I like the premise, potentially. But it looks like you're going to be building wild cities, but I guess I don't know how the memories are going to work with that.
Yeah, I don't either. After Will Wright created Spore, he went off to make robots.
Yeah,
and he disappeared for like 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
I think he is actually a robot.
Yeah, that could
be. And they're mining us.
Can't rule that out.
They're mining our data for memories to figure out how we should think, or how they should think.
And he lives in Detroit, and now he's quietly the star of Detroit Become Human. Couple other things for you, Reiner. Wolfenstein 2 coming for the Switch. They've dated it June 29th. Bethesda has treated the Switch very, very well.
Yeah. One of the few third parties that is there.
Yeah, and Wolfenstein 2 is a really good game. You guys gave it a bonkers good review, like a 9.5 or something, right?
It's a phenomenal story, too.
Great game. And what I love, the reason I wanted to be sure to mention this is, you know, what has always plagued handhelds is no first-person shooters. And now it's great that Wolfenstein is a very good first-person shooter. And I like to see more of them coming.
You're not getting the Call of Duties or the Battlefields or anything like that, but Bethesda has some really great single-player focused first-person games like Doom, which is already there. You can purchase that now.
Yeah.
The Switch port is pretty good. And then we'll see how Wolfenstein is in a few weeks.
I'm cautiously optimistic. And if you get, as soon as we can get a really fully formed first-person shooter on the Switch, I think it's going to do great.
Yep.
Wolfenstein 2 is not a kid's game. Though, let's be clear.
No,
it is dark.
This is alternate history of World War II with, I don't want to spoil certain things, but it
doesn't turn out well for the Allies.
No, it is a bloody mess of a game.
An occulty bloody mess.
Yes.
So Wolfenstein 2 coming for Switch June 29th. Also of note, we've talked Fortnite many times on this show, and obviously it's got a life of its own. Now everybody's getting into the Battle Royale bit, right? The latest is H1Z1. Is the latest that's announced they're going to have a free Battle Royale mode. You know, because Fortnite was a modest flop when it launched, and then they added Battle Royale mode, and it went berserk. Then they went to mobile, and it went extra berserk. What I think is interesting is now I feel like there are going to be a lot of other franchises like H1Z1 that, didn't do a ton. Hey, I know. Battle Royale mode.
Yeah, everybody's doing it.
Everybody's doing
it. And they don't even use the term right. Like, Battle Royale, in my mind, is huge player base of, like, 100 players all competing to be the last one alive.
Yeah.
That's what it should be. But there's, like, a vehicle combat game that's, like, 4-on-1, and they're, or, you know, 4v1, and they're like, Battle Royale.
Nah.
It's like, no, that's not.
Weren't the original Battle Royales, like, in wrestling, where they throw, like, 10 guys in the ring, and the last 30. One standing, all right, 30 guys in the ring, and the last one standing would win?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the bit?
Yeah, a new wrestler would come in every, like, 5 minutes or so.
Yeah. That's, you know,
that was great.
That was great. Do they still do that? I haven't watched wrestling in 20 years.
They do. That's their second biggest event. They have WrestleMania and then Battle Royale.
Battle Royale. Okay. Thank you. Spy Party. Is finally I think it's actually out now, finally out of early access. I don't know how much you know about Spy Party or if you've had a chance to see it yet, Reiner. It's a PC game, and I don't know that you generally do a ton of PC stuff, but the idea is pretty brilliant. It's one player versus another player. One of you is a spy and the other one is a sniper who needs to kill the spy. You, as the spy, it puts you into a position where you're in, for example, a fancy formal gala, and you've got objectives within the gala of things that you're trying to do, like, you know, find information. And you're trying to do that discreetly so that the other real person who's playing can't pick you out from the other guests at the party.
Yep.
And I think that's pretty brilliant.
It is. It's unlike anything else out there. And when you boot this game up, it gives you a mandatory manual you have to read.
Oh, wow.
Right out of the gates, they say this is unlike anything you ever played. Please read these pages because you're going to be so confused.
You're going to need it.
I first played Spy Party or saw it in 2009.
Yeah, it's been in development 8 years.
Yeah, so it's been a long time coming. It looks really fun and different. There's been missions in old like Hitman games that were like this.
Yeah.
Where you'd be a sniper and you'd have someone in your ear telling you like, okay, the agent is left-handed. So you're watching like a dinner party and you're looking for that. You're like, that's not enough information. Everybody's using their left hand. I like that kind of stuff. And that's what Spy Party accomplishes.
I like that. The sniper is trying to find this person. I don't know if you actually kill him or not.
Yeah,
or if
I'm
you
sure
just identify
how,
them, and you know that might be enough. But I'm very intrigued by Spy Party, and I think this could work on any platform as well. I think it's just one guy doing all the coding though, which makes it a little bit tricky. A couple people want to chime in on tonight's show. Let's begin with Phil. Hi, Phil.
Doing? Hey, I know that there's games that you can play on multiple platforms, but
yeah.
I just thought I'd ask each of you, let's say you got top four, we got a PC, a Switch, Xbox, and PS4.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to run out today and get the best game for a new gamer for each, what would you get?
Well, we already talked about this exact topic with the PS4. Reiner said it was God of War. I would lean towards Horizon Zero Dawn. That's just me. What would you do for the Switch?
Zelda. Reiner.
Zelda?
Breath of the Wild. Yep.
Yeah.
Or Mario
Zelda.
Odyssey, depending on who the person is.
It's Zelda.
Wonderful.
Xbox One, does anything really change for you at Xbox One level, Reiner? Is there a game on Xbox, what would be the number? What would be
to be exclusive to Xbox One, or could it be on PC?
I assume not, right?
I'd say exclusive if possible.
Well, that almost rules out the Xbox One automatically.
Yeah.
So there are virtually no exclusives. Forza Horizon was 3 was really, really good and exclusive. So there's that if you had to have an Xbox One exclusive. Otherwise, Reiner might just say, go get Overwatch, which you still play, you know, a year
every
and a half later.
Day. Yep. And it's great on that system.
So there's that. And then
Gears of War, Halo 5,
PC. We have all kinds of options. I will go with my standby PC game.
Don't say it.
Divinity Original
Sin
2.
There it is.
Yep. And why would I not say arguably the best role-playing game ever made? So
that's great.
Yeah. There you go, Phil.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bet.
Appreciate the call. I wish I had giveaways tonight, but for some reason, no giveaways. Even though we got
a ton of them.
Honestly, back in the storeroom, we've got a ton of it. But they're not in the system, so I can't give them away. And I find that a little bit frustrating. Reiner, Atari's launching a new console. Did you even know that?
Yes.
Yes, they are.
I don't know what they're doing.
I don't either. I don't even know who owns Atari and what Atari is anymore. The name Atari has changed hands probably 10 times since, the days of the 2600 and the 5200. And I don't even know what it is. I have no idea who owns it anymore. It's probably a Chinese company, conglomerate or something.
It's called the Atari VCS.
Yeah.
Isn't that a drugstore?
That's CVS. The Atari VCS. It is a Linux-based platform.
Like OUYA.
Like the OUYA.
Remember that thing?
I do. The goal here is that they want it to be a gaming, streaming, video, and content browsing device, which then makes it, to me, sound like the Shield. The NVIDIA Shield is a lot like that.
Well, everything's like that.
Everything is a lot like that. Although not all of them can do gaming. The Shield can do legitimate gaming in it because it's an NVIDIA product and it's got great processing. This Atari bit, they want you to be able to trade in and play pre-owned games through their platform electronically.
Which is kind of neat, right?
Yep. I think that's overdue, honestly. And it's going to ship with a modern controller and the old stick with one button. How many games could you even play with a stick and one button anymore?
Well, that's got to imply they have their old catalog of games, right?
I assume so.
I guess some indie devs will make stuff exclusive.
What was the highest rate in the Game Informer 300, top 300, what was the highest rated Atari 2600 game?
Oh, my goodness. Was Combat on there?
I don't remember. I don't think so. Was it Adventure?
Adventure's on there, yeah. There's a bunch of classics. Space Invaders. A lot of them debuted in the arcade, though, right?
So, right. See, Adventure.
There's a lot of
didn't.
Crossover there. Yeah. Adventure didn't. That was the first game with the Easter egg.
Yeah, that's right.
Have you seen Ready Player One yet?
No.
It's a big part of Ready Player One.
I read the book. I don't remember that part of the Easter
Adventure
egg.
Adventure is like central
is it all
plot.
Over there? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to try to remember that. I did not recall that was the case. There could be a release date is expected this month for the Atari VCS. Not that I think anybody particularly cares. Also, as another side note, who wants to play an Atari 2600 game today?
Nobody.
Nobody. They're bad games. I mean, they were they had 16K of memory. There was nothing you could do back then. You know, all you get is 3 minutes of nostalgia and nothing more.
Yep. You know who else is making a new console?
No, who?
SNK.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
The King of Fighters company.
The King of Fighters.
So they have a new, probably same thing, with all their back catalog, all that stuff. That's coming soon too.
Do you remember in the early 90s, what was the SNK console that ran all those? The cartridges were like $500 for the games.
The Neo Geo.
The Neo Geo. That's exactly right. So they had the Neo Geo was the console. The cartridges literally ran $500-$600, but you were getting basically the same exact experience that was in the arcades.
Remember?
The problem was they were all fighters.
Yeah.
Every damn one of them was a fighter.
And baseball stars.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember that age where it was you're in the arcade, you're like, oh, I love this game, and you'd go to the store like Software Etc. or something like that and find like the Super Nintendo or the Genesis version.
Yeah.
And you wanted that arcade experience
and it was nothing like
awful.
It was
like awful. It couldn't even do Paperboy right.
You're right. Even you couldn't get Paperboy right, which says a lot. Our final call of the day will be Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, I got a question about the new God of War game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never played any God of Wars before, so I was wondering if I can just jump right in to the new one, or do I have to start from the beginning?
You absolutely can jump right in. There's going to be a couple of moments throughout that game where you're going to be reminded of the past. At that point, I would just stop playing for a second, go online, and just look at a wiki, or look up, you know, God of War story, and just kind of browse that stuff. You don't need to read every little detail, but there are some characters that you might want to know about. But otherwise, that game stands alone pretty well on its own. Even with those characters in there, it doesn't matter too much that you do the research on it. So absolutely, just jump right in.
Thank you for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. I was going to ask you about Celeste, brutally difficult game. What did you guys give it? It's gotten like 10s.
I think like a 9.
Nines and 10s. And I'm looking at gameplay on it. It looks so hard. 2D side-scrolling, brutally difficult game.
But it's all based on one screen. So once you get past that screen that's checkpointed, you're on to the next screen.
I don't want to play the same screen 80 times. To me, that is not fun. Reiner, thanks for all the help tonight. I appreciate it. Zach, thank you. If you missed any part of the show, check out our podcast, KFAN Fan On Demand, also available on iTunes. Back next week for more Video Games Weekly.
Holiday Station Stores Traffic Center. Here's a look at the roads. On 94 westbound, the off-ramp is closed at 35W, plus on 94 westbound, the on-ramp is closed at 10, and that's all due to road work that will continue until about mid-June. Plus on 18th Avenue, that's closed with ongoing construction work in both directions between Monroe Street and Johnson Street. On Penn Avenue, that's closed with road work both ways between North 26th Avenue and Lowry Avenue. And on Minnetonka Boulevard, we have sewer work affecting both directions between Elm Lane to just before Hopkins Crossroad, and that's traffic on the Fan. This report is brought to you by Napa. This month at participating Napa Auto Parts stores, Castrol Full Synthetic Motor Oil is on sale for just $6.39 a quart. Quality parts, helpful people, that's Napa know-how. General States pricing, sales prices not include applicable state and local taxes or recycling fee.